I do have the privilege and honor to present to you Yahweh's last day's anointed witness, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisroel Eber Hawkins.
Thank you. Shalom, everyone! Am I wearing you down or something? I couldn't hear you. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. I think this will be well worth your effort to get this little bit, because if I didn't get it, then I wouldn't have time to cover all of this tomorrow, I know. So this morning we were seeing how Yahshua, how he made it. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the Passover lamb. He's the one that came to perfection. And he says to us in Colossians, showing us that we can actually let someone take us out. You know, of course, that is up to you. It's your choice. You don't have to let them take you. Now, I'm talking about disbelievers who doesn't believe in Yahweh's house. But Yahweh has prophesied his house. Yahshua says to believe the prophets, every word that the prophets have spoken. Well, they've prophesied his house as they did Yahshua Messiah, that it would be established in these last days, shows where it would be established. We've got booklets out with that information and books out with that information. And of course, he says that he's high priest over that house. Now, we started with Psalms 118, and I want you to go back there at this time and get this. There's a wonderful prophecies in this psalm right here that Yahweh inspired King David to write here for you in these last days. And it's called Yahweh's Mercy is Forever. And of course, you could see how Yahweh has taken his time to try to bring perfection to the universe. And he's going to. Yahshua has already made it, so we can see. And we can see the tremendous job that Yahweh went to bring that about. Now, here in Psalms, I won't read it all, but if you'll look to, start with verse 24. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, we entreat you. All of these words are important for you to remember, and the word rejoice, it's, you know, Deuteronomy 12:7, I believe it is, where he tells you to go to the place where he chooses to place his name, and there grabbed and raised hell, and no, I didn't see any of that this feast. Everything was wonderful. I can remember some of the previous feasts and how troublesome they were, and how hard it is to how hard it was at that time, in trying to establish Yahweh's laws of mercy and peace, and Yahweh's laws, of course, teach peace. They teach love between people, and that's what the character education is for, peaceful solution, character education. That's the reason it was written, and it's something that we can get out to the world. We could even put it in the schools. But it starts a person off. And many of the people here that at this feast, they've told me the reason I was here is because I was introduced to the peaceful solution, character education program, and I found out about the house of Yahweh. So they're here at this feast learning now to come to perfection in peace, peace and love and joy and with each other. Well, he says in verse 24 there, he says, rejoice and be glad. And then he said, save now, we entreat you. Remember those words. And going down to verse 26, blessed be he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Blessed be he who comes by the authority of Yahweh. Well, of course, Yahshua, in testifying to the Hebrew brothers, we had what in his time, if you can imagine, the temple. We had in his time now, we had in that temple at that time, I believe it was 11 different religions. Now, where did these come from? Well, they came from the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes were out trying to imitate the house of Yahweh. They saw what religion could do with the people. They didn't believe the prophets, but they liked the idea of having a religion to guide the people and to keep them tied to them. And of course, that's what the house of Yahweh does. It keeps you it keeps you in unity with Yahweh and keeps you in loyalty to the kingdom of Yahweh. So they saw this and they tried to imitate this many times in the different tribes. The tribes had split off. They'd gone to different nations. I brought all this out. They'd taken over those nations, including Egypt. And all of this is in the scriptures. It's just, if you'll start watching for it, you'll see it. Just every few days, you'll see it. If you're reading the scriptures, you'll see it in just every little bit. If you'll remember this thing and watch for it. But the 12 tribes, they became a multitude of nations. Well, among those nations, they didn't want to follow the laws of Yahweh, because the laws of Yahweh, if you name the name of Yahweh, you have to also follow righteousness. He that nameth the name of Yahweh has to turn away from evil also. Yahweh won't allow it. He won't allow it any other way. So they created, but they didn't believe this. So they created their own religions, but they had to have something close enough to draw these other people in. That because they were all Hebrew people and is wanting to draw them away from the other nations into their nation. So they came up, each nation they would take over that religion. They wouldn't try to destroy that culture. They would just take over the religion and work with it and change it somewhat. So in the temple itself, we had 11 different religions there inside the temple itself. This is shown in Scripture. Now, history said it was dotted. Israel was actually dotted with different religions, but I think these were branches off of what we've named in the booklets. I named many of these in the Mark of the Beast. And they were just branches out away from the main religion, but they were tied to that main religion. And of course, they were all fighting amongst with each other. This is where the emperors had trouble in trying to control the people. Well, here now, he says, blessed be he who comes in the name of Yahweh. So everyone wasn't in the name of Yahweh. Everyone had a god that they were worshiping, or gods that they were worshiping, and they had places of worship that, you know, the history shows you they had temples everywhere, even in Israel, even on just outside, away from the temple, a little bit on Mount Zion, they had a temple. One of Solomon's wives put it there. History says it was for the reason of bringing forth trade and cooperation from the other Hebrew nations that were scattered out. So they would come and they'd worship at that place, knowing their God was there, and they'd been taught. It only takes one generation to establish a religion. And you establish it in the children's minds, that religion, and then they grow up worshiping that God. Well, of course, these people can, the gods allowed them to do whatever they wanted to do. In fact, they encouraged it. They still do. They encouraged the young people to fulfill their lust. And of course, this is what young people want to hear because they haven't developed the wisdom to find out that these lusts that comes, the evil are the curses that's going to come with fulfilling those lusts. But even today, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, encourages young people to fulfill their lusts. They call it dreams, but it's the same. It's a lust they're fulfilling. Well, Yahweh, he said, blessed, the same blessing is pronounced in Revelations 22, blessed with eternal life. Blessed are those that keep his commandments, for they have the right to eternal life. Well, this is what you see here. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. That's Yahweh himself. But remember now, Yahweh will have no work unless it's prophesied in advance by the prophets. And that's the reason that Yeshua said, believe the prophets. Now the next one, Yahweh is our Father who has given us light. Bind the sacrifice for the feast with ropes. King James Version says cords. Take it to the horns of the altar. Before we see that, I need you to turn over to Zechariah, the 11th chapter. Zechariah 11. Zechariah gives a great deal. He was inspired to give a great deal of prophecies concerning Yeshua and the last day's work. But here is here's just a small prophecy concerning Yeshua, and of course, how this binding took place that he's talking about here in Psalms 118. Verse 12 says, so I said to them, if you think it best, give me my price, but if not, keep it. So they weighed for him my price, 30 pieces of silver. My price, 30 pieces of silver. Remember this now, remember this scripture. Then Yahweh said to me, throw it to the potter, that considerable price that I was valued by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver, threw them to the potter in the house of Yahweh. Well, unless you knew what was behind the potter and what he did, so you have to study the temple to see what all took place there. So you have to know their activities. Well, let me give it to you in 10 words or less, if I try anyway. They had pots where you can't come in. Yeshua talked about this when he said to his disciples, you see how the rich people, they come in and they throw their money in much by abundance, but you know they can afford it. Now here's this widow woman. When she comes in, she threw her mites into the proper pot, of course, and it was the pots were marked as to what it went into. Now only certain money, you couldn't bring the price of a dog or the hire of a whore. You couldn't bring anything defiled and throw it into the pot that was used for the sanctuary, for the purchases of the sanctuary itself, or the temple itself. So they had other pots set up for different things to drop it in. If anything was defiled, they had a pot for that too. Anything had blood on it that they and hadn't been cleansed, they had a pot for that. Well, this is why he said of this in this prophecy, and this is speaking of Yeshua and the price paid for Yeshua, as we will see as we study the other scriptures, that this throw it to the potter, The pots that was contained here for this defiled money was present in the temple, and it wasn't allowed to be used by the temple itself. It had to be used for something else outside the temple. You got all of that in your mind. Okay? Now the price. Let's go back over to Exodus. We can get this in several different ways, and I've found the price here in several different ways, but here is one that kind of spells it out best. Some in Genesis, it's also in Genesis, these prices and the way they figured it, but I'll not burden you with that today because I don't have that much time. But if you'll look to Exodus 21, and notice verse 32. If the bull gores a manservant, now this is speaking Exodus 21, verse 32. Exodus 21, verse 32. If a bull gores a manservant or a maidservant, now these were slaves. A manservant is a slave. A maidservant is a slave. And if he gores one of these manservants or a maidservant, he shall give to their owner, the owner, see, they're owned, they're a slave, so they're owned by somebody here. The owner of that bull shall give to their owner 30 shekels of silver. The bull shall be stoned. So the bull is put to death. Well, here's the price then that we have given for us here in plain scriptural language, 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver for the manservant or the maidservant, the slave. That's what he is worth. Now, to understand that, go back to Yochanan now. Yochanan, and here we see Yahshua. Yahshua became as Yahweh, a slave to the Son of Man, or the sons of men. And here he shows that in Yochanan 13. He says he got up, and from now on when you see what Yahshua was doing here, when you read this, then it'll make sense to you what he was doing and what he was fulfilling back here when he did this, because they used it at the temple itself now. They would not let you come in without taking off your shoes, washing your feet, taking off your sandals, washing your feet. They still make you remove your shoes when you go into the Muslim mosque. They will make you remove your shoes. You can't wear shoes and you have to go barefooted or slip some rubber plastic boots on or something. I haven't been in there, never gone in there. But they tried to get me to, and they said you'd have to take your shoes off at the door, but I didn't go in. But anyway, they still do this. Well, it was stronger, from what I understand, in reading history, it was stronger back in the days of the temple, and sometimes a person would get by the first guard, but the second guard you didn't get by because he was responsible for your shoes. And the second slave, the first one wasn't responsible. He was just responsible for telling you which person to go to here, which slave, because it's coming in by abundance. So they had slaves lined out, and he would say, there's one down there, one up here. Kind of like parking the cars out here, you know, showing you where to park. Well, these were showing you where the empty pots were to wash your feet. So the lowest slaves was put to washing feet. They were also employed in rich people's houses to wash the feet of his guests as they come in the door to party. Well, Yahshua took on the part of the lowest slave here. Now, if you look at what he's doing, he got up from supper, laid aside his tallit, then he took a towel and laid it around himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet. The kingdom of Yahweh is the only kingdom that you have to become a slave in order to become a son. Praise Yahweh. And when you become a slave, become a son in the kingdom, then you have the authority to be a slave. Quite a twist, isn't it? But you're given the authority, or the badge showing, or the white stone, as it would, the acquittal showing you're innocent, you can be trusted with people's possessions. You're given the authority by Yahweh to become a teacher of some kind or a guider of some kind, as Yahshua was, given 12 disciples to teach the laws, to teach them the laws. And he lost but one, he said. And that was the son that was prophesied to be lost. The one that's prophesied to be lost is the one he lost. The others had jobs they had to do, and that one had to be replaced in order to do that job of bringing forth book 2 to us today. And all of that was prophesied. Prophecies about each one of these and what they would do. Very interesting. It's very technical and deep, so that it takes quite a bit of remembrance to get into, but because it's shown in several different places. If Yahweh had shown it out fully and says for instance, Timothy, he had prophecies of him that Shaul talked about that he knew, and they are recognizable, but they're hidden. At the same time, they're hidden. It's like the prophecies of Yahshua. There was some that knew some about Yahshua when he was born. Not many, but they came hunting him, so they knew something about it before he was born, and knew when he is going to be born and where he was going to be born. Well, those prophecies are shown, of course, and the name and all is shown there. But others are the same way about the work in the last days. If Yahweh would have said straight out, then Satan would have known where he was. As the way it was, Yahweh had to say to Yosef, get up, get out of here, take the boy, go to Egypt to save his life, because Herod is going to kill him if he finds him. Well, this is a matter of believing and disbelieving, but rebellion or obedience. But if he hadn't have been obedient to Yahweh, we wouldn't have had a Savior. Satan would have killed him. Same way with Moshe. If everything hadn't have been done as prophesied and followed out the way it was, and then guided by Malachim and man, then Moshe would have never made it. And you see, you have that record to go by to see. Well, the same way with what is going on in these last days. And that's the reason Yahweh said, I was hidden. I was hidden. The last day's witness was actually hidden until I was actually trained. Think of the influence that can take place. And this is what Yahweh guided Yahshua about too, and also Yochanan and Moshe. It was set up to where they could be trained by certain people, and their minds could not be influenced by certain people till they got to where they could stand that influence and withstand it, because that influence is what pulls people out of the house of Yahweh. A hint here or there, or a disbelief here or there, and it's planted by Satan in the mind, and you'll be surprised how effective it is. The few words that Yahshua said to the Samaritan woman, if you remember that, I brought some information on it, showing that he started a work there. He actually started a work there with that woman. Well, just that few words that we see is probably condensed, but the main things are there that he planted in the mind of that woman. So the woman went telling, she went preaching, saying, I found the one prophesied. And of course, this was what everyone was looking for at that time. See, they were looking for the one prophesied. We have people come here and tell us that
we knew that there was a house of Yahweh. We just didn't know where it was, but we saw it in prophecy. So we knew that there was one in existence somewhere. Someone, I don't remember exactly all the details, but someone heard the name Yahweh. And it was among unbelievers, but something had already been planted, and this was a woman, it had already been planted in her mind. And when she heard the name Yahweh, it lightened up and rang a bell, like turning a light switch on to her. So she started, she said back then, this was before cell phones. She got out, that we still had operators we could talk to. Well, she got on the phone and asked if there was anything, any churches or something called Yahweh. And the woman went to work. They had computers at that time. She went to work. She said, well, we have a house of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas. So she came here. Well, that was just from a hint that was, or a word that was given unto her that kindly turned the light on and rang a bell. And she's been a great worker in the house ever since that she is here, you know, great worker. Well, this work that Yahshua started in Samaria is the same. You know, it was just a hint or a few words that took place between the two of them. But he started to work and told his disciples to stay out of that area. Don't go there. He had, because he had it going and he wanted it to go just exactly like Yahweh had it planned. Well, here he says to his disciples that he's going to wash their feet, and he took the part of the lowest slave. Price of a lowest slave was 30 shekels of silver, which amounted to almost nothing. Still does, even though silver is up, it still amounts to almost nothing. Well, to remember now what Zechariah said about the potter now. And let's turn here to Matthew 26. You may not believe it, but this all ties in with the horns of the altar. Every bit of it. This is the reason it's so hard. Satan could have never figured this out. And I know it. I'm not saying I'm smarter than Satan. I'm not. But I'm inspired by Yahweh, and that's what makes the difference. My inspirer is much smarter than Satan, and that makes the difference. But in Matthew now, 26, and let's go to verse 15. Matthew 26, verse 15, and asked, what will you give me to hand him over to you? Well, let's go back. Here is the memorial just above. Yeshua was announcing of the anointing at Bethany of the woman of which it's her memorial too on that night. Then verse 14, then one of the 12 called Yada, Issachariot, went to the chief priest. Now, this was shown over in Yochanan as they got up from supper. He was tempted. Satan put it in his mind to betray Yahshua. Something occurred that set this off. Somebody whispered to him something, made him mad, made him angry, and he said, oh, I've had enough of this. Enough is enough. How many times have we heard that? No. Probably not. Probably you haven't had enough yet, you know, or you would have overcome it by now. But praise Yahweh for the blessings. I pray for your blessings. And I know you think of blessings as a handful of money. But I pray that your blessings that I want you to get is the trials that will get you away from your cocky, rebellious attitudes to a humble humble attitude in Yahweh's house. Well, he said, he went to the chief priest now. He went to the chief priest and asked What will you give me? By the way, there was a lot of chief priests, but they worked together in the temple. They fought against one another. They argued against one another. There was three religions that actually had control of the temple. The Pharisees were the leading group that had the most authority in the temple. But the others also carried their weight and had authority. They agreed to work together. They didn't agree with each other. They just agreed to work together to bring forth a goal here. And that goal was to establish one religion that the people would give in to, would follow. And then to wipe out these others. And they didn't actually want to kill the people. But they saw they had to. In order, they finally decided they had to kill everyone else except these insiders here, because the others would not cooperate. So this is where they made the decision, and the army joined them in this, and they started waging war. It was persecution. They killed a few of them back, but they persecuted the prophets. They killed some of them. They didn't kill them all. They could have. They could have killed all of them had Yahweh allowed it. But they persecuted them. Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted, he said. Well, they finally made the decision to start killing them all. And that's what they did. And they saw this in Yahshua. They knew that Yahshua was going to be a leader of the people. Satan knew it. Satan knew that this was going to be the one that was going to make it. Now, she killed Abel after she found out that he was going to make it. She killed him. She tried to kill Moshe. She tried to, she did kill Yochanan. And then she is trying to kill Yahshua. Well, of course, Yahweh took Yahshua to Egypt, where he had a place of safety, where he could live, where his parents could live, and in private bring up the boy, teach him properly for a certain length of time until Herod died. And then after that, he comes back to the land of Israel, where he was brought up then by trained priest in the territory of Galilee by the people who saw the light, as the prophecy said they would. They saw the light. That is, they saw the manna from heaven. They saw the teaching. They saw the plan of Yahweh. They understood it. They were inspired to understand it. So he asked, "What will you give me to hand over to you?" And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Remember the prophecy in Zechariah. Give me my price. Hold your place right there and look back to that again. Zechariah 11. So I said to them, if you think it best, now this is a prophecy, but it's hidden. That is, it's disguised. You would never think. Scholars have read this thing many, many times and never put it together. But scholars study words, phrases, and languages. If you're inspired by Yahweh, you'll study here a little and there a little and place it all together. Yes, and he works with you to do it. So I said to them, if you think it best, give me my price. So here you see they're making a covenant. As this covenant here, they covenanted with him. They're making a covenant with him. But if not, he said, keep it. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Well, that's the price they gave to Judas Iscariot here, 30 pieces of silver. They made a covenant with him to give him that much. And from that time, he looked for the opportunity to betray him. Verse 13 now. Verse 13 of Zechariah. Then Yahweh said to me, throw it to the potter. Yahweh said. Now notice who's given the instruction here in this whole thing. Yahweh himself gives the command. Let's get Matithiah 27. Hold your place there in Zechariah. Hold your place in Zechariah. That is, Yahweh gives the prophecy here. Then Yahweh said to me, throw it to the potter. That considerable price that I was valued by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of Yahweh. Well, Yahweh himself said that, if you notice. Now look at Matithiah 27 and notice verse 1. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Yahshua. Look at verse 3 it is. Then Yada, who had betrayed him, seeing that Yahshua had been condemned, felt regret and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? You will see to that. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the house of Yahweh and left and went and hanged himself. That is not exactly right, but it's close enough for now. And the chief priest picked up the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put this in the treasury, for it is the price of blood. It was defiled. Price of blood. Blood defiled it. So they consulted together. Then they bought with it the potter's field to bury the stranger. This was where they buried the potters from the house of Yahweh and the cheapest land they could find. So they bought the potter's field to bury the strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled, notice, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Zechariah the prophet, saying, so they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver, that considerable price that I was valued by them, whom they of the children of Israel had agreed to pay, and used them for the potter's field as Yahweh had appointed. How Yahweh appointed? Go back to Zechariah 13. Then Yahweh said to me, throw it to the potter. So Yahweh inspired this whole thing to take place, prophecies concerning the Savior, so you would believe. And some still don't believe. <laughs> You know? <laughs> Well, of course, it's because their minds are blinded. Don't blame them. Let's go back now to Psalms. Psalms 118. And let's notice verse 25 now. Psalms 118, verse 25. It says, save now. Save now, we entreat you. Save now, we entreat you. These words were sung. At the feast around the temple, the young people, is mostly young people. David spoke of it when he said he saw the children playing in the streets and singing. This was during the time of the feasting because they made marches. They would study at the temple, and then they would march, especially the young men that wanted to be priests or were training for priests. They would actually march. They would march around the altar. They'd march around different things. But they sang a song, the Hebrews did, on the Feast of Tabernacles, when carrying green branches in their hands, and from the Hoshea is the Hebrew. We have the word Hosanna. That's where we get it. It wasn't from where it's used, but that's where it comes from this song that was sang at the Feast of Tabernacles only. At the Feast of Tabernacles, this song was sung, and the Hebrew, Hoshea Na, we have the word, English word, Hosanna. This was sung by the Hebrew children when Yeshua made his public entry into Jerusalem. By the Hebrew children. Now think of this, because you can see by this that the word was getting out. Yeshua was born. Here's the one prophesied that this word, when they all knew it, it was prophesied. So when Yeshua made a certain entry into Jerusalem, the children were actually, at that time, they had practiced this for that occasion. And the song was written to be sung on the Feast of Tabernacles at that time, at this time. Not the time of his death now, that was later. But at this time. So it was made and it was sung every year at the Feast of Tabernacles. Hosanna. Hosanna. And this was placed in their minds, and this went on. Let's turn over to Matthew with that in mind now. Matthew 21. And notice, let's start here with verse 7. Now this should start tying together some other prophecies in Genesis for you. And you've got to know all these prophecies. It's very important to, when you see all these prophecies and you put them together and you see how Yahweh has hid this thing, you know, from Satan to protect his work until it was well established before she would ever know anything. So here we have this taking place now. Let's go back to verse 1. And when they drew near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage of the Mount of Olives, then Yeshua sent two disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and at once you will find a donkey and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me." Going down to verse 7 now. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. Well, now, here, of course, the scholars start to argue about the words and on them. Now, you notice he says them. Notice in your scripture, this is not a mistranslation. Even though some have changed it because it didn't make sense. They called it absurd. He won't ride both of them. He surely wouldn't ride both of them. But he did. And for a reason, of course. Because it was prophesied. This was the prophecy that's spoken of in Genesis. And without knowing all of these things, and without being able to put them together, you would never figure it out. And that this was the man, of course. Well, of course, let's read verse 7. That's all we want to read here. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks upon them. Notice the honor now here that is being shown to this man. And he sat on them. He sat on them. This was a custom. But it was brought forth because of the prophecy of the Savior. And it was actually put into a song by David, this 118th Psalm and here. And it was hidden so well that no one would have ever figured out. They probably thought David was drunk and got his tongue twisted and said the wrong Hebrew words. And then same thing in Matthew when somebody made a mistake and put them instead of it. Or something like that. There was all kinds of arguments took place over this scripture right here because of a total misunderstanding. But this was a custom showing that a king was chosen. And you would never know that unless you know the Holy Scriptures accepted, and they were accepted by the people. Let's go. I'm going a little over time, but I'll cover just a couple of more scriptures here. Not leave you hanging this time, maybe, so much. But let's go over to 2 Kings right quickly. 2 Kings. Keep this in mind, the custom of laying the branches and laying the cloaks. It was for a purpose to show that a king had been chosen and a king had been accepted. And this was the custom. And, of course, they knew a king was coming forward. And the kings, the Hebrew kings of the Hebrew people, whether it was one of the Roman soldiers or whatever it was, they were Hebrews. And they fought against each other, but they tried to control, each one tried to control the kingdoms. And of course, Herod, who controlled Yada and Jerusalem, he would kill a person. You know, the kings killed their own family to keep them from taking their place. They'd kill their own sons sometimes. We saw that in history. They would kill anyone that they thought was threatening their throne and their authority. So when the people, when they heard of somebody that was trying, as King David did, as King David heard that one of his sons was trying to take his kingdom, then he acted. So did Solomon. Did the same thing. So this was something that they guarded against, trying to keep hold of their power that they had. But when this thing took place in Jerusalem, it was a custom at that time, and they'd been looking forward to this for 1,000 years or more, for Yahshua to be born, and he would be king. He would be the king that would restore, as the disciples, will you restore again the kingdom to Israel? And the disciples were talking about the kingdom that Moshe established. But of course, he said, it's not for you to know the time yet. But these prophecies have got to be fulfilled now. So here in 2 Kings now, 9, look at verse 7. You shall destroy the house of Ahab, which now rules, and I will avenge the blood of my servant, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh, shed by the hand of Jezebel. The whole house of Ahab shall die. I will cut off from Ahab all the males of Israel. We're in 2 Kings 9. This is verse 8. Males of Israel, slave or free, I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahia. The dog shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Yezreel, and no one will bury her. Then he opened the door and ran. This was a prophecy that he was giving here. And Jehu returned to the captains of the king. One of them asked, is all well? Why did this madman come to see you? I believe this was Elisha. He said to them, you know the man and the sorts of things he utters. But they said, that is not true. Tell us now. So he said, this is what he told me. This is what Yahweh says. I have anointed you king over Israel. Then each man hurried, took his garments, and spread it under him on the top of the steps. And they blew the shofar and proclaimed, Yahu is king. Or Yehu is king. So this is a custom that you're seeing take place over here in Matithiah 21 and verse 7. As he set, look, go back to that scripture again. 21 and verse 7. And they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks, just like they did with Jehu, and set him on them. Set him on them.
If you just think about what was taking place here, with Yahshua, he was being accepted by the people here. And this is what stirred Jerusalem. It stirred all of Jerusalem, especially it shook the it shook up the kings of Jerusalem that had the power at that time. And of course, it said it stirred all of Jerusalem because they knew this prophecy was being fulfilled. They knew that it was time for the Savior to be born, and then the word was spreading that he had been born, and that a time period would come when he would actually restore the government to Israel, or the kingdom to Israel. Well, here there was such a, we'll read more of this tomorrow, because there's still a lot of it to go there. I didn't cover it all, but we will in the morning, hopefully, Yahweh willing. But you could see, as you study what took place in chapter 21 and verse, that chapter 21 there, that the people, they were so excited about this. They had accepted Yahshua as the king of Israel. And of course, after this took place and he proved what he fulfilled the prophecy here and proved that he was that person that was going to fulfill this. Now, not at that time, though, because the prophecies that said he had to die, he had to be refused. He went to his own, but they would not accept him. They didn't want this man to rule over them. Isn't it strange that all of these people that were wanting him to rule, and you can see it from this from chapter 21 there, that they wanted Yahshua to rule. A few months later, they were all saying, hang him. Get rid of him. We don't want this man to rule over us. You see how Satan can turn the things around? Now, this is shown to you so you could see how easy it is for people to be led away that is not absolutely grounded in righteousness. Just grounded in truth, you know, or knowing the truth, knowing the scriptures, doesn't help unless you have your roots set in righteousness too, to where you live by those scriptures. You believe and you live by them, and you see the benefit of those. Well, it's been a long day. I know it has. I see some of you getting sleepy. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you, brothers and sisters. Enjoy yourselves now, and don't forget tomorrow, that tomorrow's another Sabbath. Be there in the morning.